Like the part about disciplinary action, but the rest made me feel better. All right, let's get moving. He nodded, then turned, leading me down a wide stone hallway lit by golden torches. A massive wooden door, with iron lattice on the front, swelled with magic at his touch, and spun open. The large room was full of weapons of every variety, both steel and magical. There were so many, and they were so fabulous, that I almost didn't notice the man working in the corner, bent over a little table with a lamp glowing at the end. His head popped up, pale eyes gleaming.
Cade, it is almost done.
Thank you, Coriander.
You must be Bree.
Coriander smiled at me.
This amulet should help you control your magic, but its power is not infinite, so you will have to learn to control it yourself, eventually.
Thank you. I hated that both of these men now knew about my issues, but I stepped forward to take the amulet, unwilling to look a gift horse in the mouth.
Wear it well, Coriander said, and it will serve you well.
I wasn't sure what that meant, exactly, but he smiled when he slipped the necklace over my head, so I figured I was doing it all right.
Thank you.
As Cade led me out of the room, my gaze lingered on the weapons. I loved the katana that had been a gift from my mother, and all my other weapons had been specially chosen. But a girl could dream. One could never have too many weapons. As we climbed the stairs, Cade murmured,
Coriander will not share your control issues with anyone else, but you must learn to manage your magic. You were chosen to join the Protectorate because of your determination and fighting ability, and the sheer wealth of magic that you house within you. But you must train hard to wield it well.
I hated hearing it, knowing that I was so flawed, but he was right. My magic was on the fritz, and I had to get it under control.
I know. I will.
When we reached the hall at the top of the stairs, I turned toward Cade. Ready now?
Aye, I'll lead.
He reached for my hand. I took it, gripping his much larger palm in my own. Heat zinged up my arm, and I averted my gaze, unwilling to make eye contact while dirty thoughts were racing through my head. Cade threw the charm on the ground, and a sparkling gray smoke rose up. He stepped inside, and I followed, gasping as the ether sucked me in and flung me across space. When I stepped out, we were in a huge, bustling square that was full of people in fabulous costumes. Three massive, ornate buildings surrounded us, with a large body of water making up the fourth side of the square. A tall, beautiful bell tower told the hour. 4 o'clock. All around me, people jostled. Most were wearing fantastic masks to complete their jewel-toned costumes, and many were lining up in formation.
For a parade?
St. Mark's Square, Cade said. The central point of the city.
Busy. What a time of year to choose.
Aye, and the best place to get a boat. Come on.
He gripped my hand tighter and pulled me through the crowd. We wound through bodies, as feathers from headdresses poked me in the face, and glitter landed on my clothes. These Venetians sure knew how to party. We neared the water, which was actually an extremely large bay from what I could tell, and found rows of boats lined up. We passed the traditional gondolas, with their curved ends, and headed straight for a cluster of sleek, wooden speedboats.
What, no gondolas? I asked.
Those are for stealth. We need speed.
We jumped off the stone quay onto the floating wooden docks. An older man approached, his gray mustache fluttering in the breeze. He was even wearing the striped shirt of a gondolier.
Cade, long time.
Mario.
Cade reached out and shook the man's hand.
We need your fast boat.
For you, anything.
The man made the money motion by rubbing his fingers together.
Because I know you will pay.
Always.
Cade smiled.
With the damage deposit.
Of course.
Mario gestured to a long, sleek boat built of gleaming wood. The cockpit was open, and it looked like the type of thing an old celebrity would ride around in.
400 horsepower. Just what you're looking for.
Perfect.
Cade pulled a roll of cash out of his pocket and handed some of it over. My jaw dropped. I was used to seeing big wads of cash. We regularly charged 10K for a ride across Death Valley. And the roll he was carrying was a big chunk of change. Cade hopped down into the boat, and I followed, my gaze sticking to the roll of money. "You always carry that much with you?" I whispered.
"On jobs like this, aye."
"All right, then." I found a spot next to the steering wheel and held on to the metal rail. There wasn't much space in the boat. Most of that was taken up by the engine compartment. Cade waved goodbye to Mario, who threw off the lines. He pulled us away from the dock, then we joined the rest of the boats in the harbor. It was slow going at first, weaving between the party boats that were full of dancing revelers. "Where are we going?" I shouted over the wind.
"Pavalia Plague Island."
"Plague Island?"
"No longer, but it was once used as a quarantine. They say that half the soil is made of decomposing bodies."
"Ugh," I shuddered. "All those poor people."
"Now, it's the home of the Vampire of Venice."
We reached an open area in the bay, and he pulled on the throttle. The engine roared, and the boat punched ahead, flying over the water like a race car. The wind whipping my hair back from my face was so loud that it was impossible to talk. But whoever the Vampire of Venice was, I probably wasn't going to like him. Vampires were a rarely seen species, since they often hung out in their own realm. I'd only ever met one in real life. We raced across the sea, heading toward a small island that was pretty far out. I kept glancing at Cade, who looked natural out here on the open water, with his dark hair whipping in the breeze, and his gaze focused on the water ahead. As we neared the island, which was quite small, I made out the building that sat on the only hill. It looked old, 18th or 19th century, and there was a depressing air about the place. Cade slowed the boat and pulled toward a large dock that jutted out into the water. A figure came striding down the dock as we neared, hooves thudding against the wooden slats. His top half looked like that of a bull. "Holy fates, is that a minotaur?" I asked.
"Only one there is," Cade said.
"So, the minotaur? The one from Greek myth?"
"Aye, and now gainfully employed."
"All right, then."
"Who goes there?"
the minotaur roared. His voice was rough and loud, carrying with it a serious threat. I fought way bigger monsters than him, but still, I shifted nervously.
"Cade and Bree Blackwood,"
Cade shouted.
"Oh."
The minotaur bowed low.
"Welcome, God of War." "Thank you."
Cade pulled the boat up alongside the dock and tossed the rope to the minotaur. The air of threat surrounding the beast had lifted, no doubt because he respected the hell out of Cade. But he didn't respect me yet, so I kept an eye on him as I climbed onto the dock. Cade followed.
"We're here to see the Vampire of Venice." "Of course."
The minotaur gestured to indicate the dock that led to the island. We set off toward land, which looked like a wild, abandoned island. The building on top of the hill looked even more haunted and decrepit from here. Torches blazed at the entrance, a spooky invite to a party to which I'd rather RSVP no. "The Vampire of Venice has eccentric tastes," I said, poking around for some details.
"This was once an insane asylum,"
the minotaur said.
"Back in the 19th century."
"Oh, bummer." I frowned. "Sad."
"Sad?"
Cade asked.
"Most people would say creepy or cool."
"Well, asylums were never great places, were they? Most of the people just had epilepsy or other conditions that weren't a threat to anyone. They just needed treatment. But they got locked up here instead." I shivered, sadness for those poor souls filling me.
"You're very empathetic,"
Cade said. "I don't know. It's just sad, okay?" I searched for a way to get the subject off me.
"Empathy,"
Cade said. I punched him lightly on the shoulder, surprisingly comfortable with him. As we neared the house, I swore I could feel the ghosts that haunted it. I shuddered, really not wanting to go inside. I quickened my pace. Best to get it over with. The Minotaur led us up the expensive steps to the massive front doors, which creaked open to admit us. Like a freaking haunted house, I muttered. I stepped into a fabulous entryway. The huge, glittering chandelier alone had to be worth every penny I'd ever earned in my whole life. Shining marble floors gleamed, and priceless paintings decorated the walls. Some asylum, I muttered.
The Vampire of Venice has made some modifications in the years since her great ancestor lived on this island,
the Minotaur said.
The original Vampire of Venice, Fiametta de Bastien, died in 1576. Her ancestors now form one of the most powerful families in the Venetian underworld.
And we're going to meet the boss, I murmured to Cade.
Aye.
The Minotaur led us to the back of the house, into a huge office, decorated in navy and gold. A woman sat behind the desk. She rose when we entered. She was slim as a skeleton, with pale skin stretched tight over prominent cheekbones. She wore a sleek black suit that buttoned up to her neck, with her ebony hair slicked back in a long ponytail. Of course, her skin was pale, and her lips blood red. White fangs barely showed. All in all, she made a fabulous picture of a vampire mob boss.
Cade.
Her voice dripped with ice, but it was somehow warm. Even when she was being welcoming, she sounded like a stone-cold bitch. I liked her. This woman got shit done. Her gaze moved to the Minotaur.
You may go, Mino.
The beast bowed and left.
Vittoria de Bastion.
Cade bowed.
It is good to see you again.
And you? She purred icily. I didn't know how she managed to make a purr icy, but I did know that I didn't like that purr. Dang it. I'd have kicked myself if I could. No reason to feel jealousy over Cade. That was stupid. And dangerous. And who are you? Vittoria turned her blazing blue eyes on me. I am Bree Blackwood, and we're here because we need your help.
Straight to the point.
She gestured us toward her desk. I like it. We strolled toward her, Cade at my side. She watched me coolly, properly interpreting the threat that I posed. A lot of people underestimated me, which I liked, but not Vittoria. I respected that. She sank elegantly into her chair. It was a massive affair of carved wood that matched her hulking desk. Both were so ornate that they made my eyes bleed. But it was the colorful glass lamps that took the cake for gaudy. It wasn't my taste, but I had to say that it suited the Vampire of Venice. Cade and I sat in the large red chairs in front of her desk.
What can I do for you?
She purred.
We're looking for Ricketts, Cade said. We've heard that his base is here in Venice. Since you know everything about the underworld in your city, we're hoping you can tell us where he is. Ricketts,
she sneered.
That interloper.
Interloper? I asked.
Yes.
She spat the word.
My family and the other great families of Venice, the Zanotta, the Contarini, and the Baduera, have been running the supernatural crime world here for centuries. Then that newcomer arrived.
The disgust in her voice would be worthy of an Oscar. I could feel the loathing.
He breaks the laws of our land, targets the weak and the poor.
You don't do that?
No.
She scowled.
The weak and the poor have no money, and there's honor in what we do. There are plenty of evil bastards to ring for all they're worth.
A mob boss with a conscience. I'd like her. If she weren't occasionally shooting Cade hot looks.
In addition to stepping on our business, Ricketts has found a way to wring pennies from the poor and to prey on the most vulnerable.
Her red lips twisted. Why don't you stop him? I asked.
She scoffed. Do I look like a Wonder Woman to you? I'm a businesswoman, not a charity.
Wouldn't you want to kill him if he's cutting into your bottom line? I knew I was giving her 20 questions. But I really wanted to know what this woman's deal was.
Of course I'd love to take him out. I even know where he lives. It took me ages to find that. But he's as powerful as I am now, because of his magic. As powerful as all the families. That makes him our equal, and it allows him to enter the pact.
Her gaze sharpened.
We will not engage in assassination attempts against the other families. Else how can we ever be safe ourselves?
Smart. I nodded.
Vittoria has always been clever,
Cade said.
What do you want with Ricketts?
She said.
To kill him.
I grinned. Her eyes brightened with interest, and I swore she almost clapped.
Really? Perfect. You're outsiders, with motivation, who cannot be traced back to me. The perfect ones to do the job.
Does that mean you'll tell us where he is? I asked.
Of course. In exchange for something, she said.
We're killing your enemy. I made my voice hard. That's enough.
Her gaze drifted to Cade, turning sultry.
Perhaps just a small token of your appreciation for my assistance then.
She leaned across the desk toward Cade, whispered in his ear. I resisted the desire to smack her away. Really, jealousy did not become me, and stood in my seat. She sank back behind her desk. Cade gave her an impassive gaze.
I'll consider it.
She nodded, clearly content.
You can find Ricketts at San Zaccaria.
I frowned.
A church?
Under the church.
She shook her head.
The idiot has built his headquarters under the church.
Wouldn't that flood? I asked. Venice is on the water.
Exactly. It is moronic. He uses magic to shore up his defenses, but one day they will fail. It is unnatural to be underground in Venice.
She was clearly very bothered by this. I couldn't blame her.
Any other details that you can share?
Cade asked.
Yes. You should enter via the Grand Canal and the back canals. It is a windier route to the city, but the other way is blocked by poltergeists. From our reconnaissance, I've learned that there are two statues at the entrance of the church. They are guards, not decoration, meant to scare away supernaturals. Incapacitate them, then find the church's basement. From there, you must make your way past enchanted blockades. But I know no more.
Thank you.
Cade stood. I followed. Vittoria eyed Cade, her gaze burning.
Remember that I want that date.
He nodded, but said nothing, and we hurried from the room. I could feel Vittoria's gaze on our backs. At least she hadn't eyed our necks while we'd been in there. When we reached the outside, I sucked in the fresh air gratefully. It was hot and humid, but at least it wasn't the heavy perfume that cloaked the old asylum. The Minotaur led us to the boat, and we sped back across the bay as the sun set, cutting across water that glowed as orange as the sky. Venice loomed on the horizon, fabulously beautiful. I'd never been to a place like this. Never made it off the west coast, in fact. But it was fantastic. Near the city, Cade piloted us between the other boats full of revelers, entering the Grand Canal. It was massive, surrounded on both sides by huge mansions. The canal itself was crowded with boats, all decked out for the parade.
At least this will allow us to slip through undetected,
Cade said.
With so many people here, we'll blend.
I nodded, taking in everything, keeping a wary gaze out for threats. There were supernaturals and humans here, all mixing as one, though the humans had no idea. The costumes made it possible for the supernaturals to come out in droves, many wearing their natural wings and horns. It was risky, but I couldn't blame them. Cade pulled his phone out of his pocket and typed something in.
Calling someone? I asked.
Google Maps. I have no idea where this church is.
Smart.
A few moments later, Cade turned our boat onto one of the smaller canals, edging past gondolas with inches to spare. At least this boat was very narrow. We motored slowly under an ornate bridge that was covered by a roof. On top, four men fought a vicious fistfight, while onlookers cheered.
Tradition, Cade said. Going back to the Middle Ages.
One of the fighters took a hit so hard that he flew off the bridge, splashing into the water below us.
And that's the goal of the whole thing,
Cade said. Not bad?
Not at all.
Cade directed the boat through increasingly smaller canals, taking us deeper into the city. Soon the streets were empty, and the golden lamps positioned farther and farther apart. The sound of revelry disappeared. Beautiful buildings crowded either side of the canals, and balconies hung with laundry that fluttered in the breeze. We motored under a bridge. As we came out the other side, a thud sounded behind us. I spun, catching sight of a gray-skinned demon wearing a black leather jumpsuit. His horns were sawed off, and his hand glowed with a strange green light. Since his magic already felt like a headache, it'd probably knock me straight out if he hit me with it.
Ricketts wants you,
he hissed, foul breath wafting toward me. Duh. But I'd be going to him on my terms. As he raised his hand, I called upon my magic, grateful for the charm Cade had given me. It allowed me to grasp my magic quickly and fire a tiny burst that knocked him off his feet. Wow, like old times. He slammed onto the stern of the boat, and I lunged to grab him before he could fall into the canal. I dragged him toward me by the arm, calling my dagger from the ether, and pressed it to his neck. He was still gasping from the shock of my sonic boom. It felt roughly like your insides were being pulverized, from what people had told me. Where is Ricketts' headquarters? I poked the tip of the dagger into his neck. I trusted the Vampire of Venice, but it didn't hurt to double-check. Not when the stakes were so high.
Never telling you,
he hissed. Sure you will. I lowered the dagger to his crotch. I'll castrate you before I send you back to hell. Actually, the idea made vomit rise in my throat. But this always worked on dudes. His yellow eyes flared bright.
San Zachariah.
I grinned, then stabbed him in the throat and shoved him overboard. Pain suddenly gouged me in the chest, spreading outward like knives, and I gripped the boat. My heart felt like it stopped beating. Tears filled my eyes as I sucked in a shallow breath. But it wouldn't go in. I couldn't breathe. The Lithica poisoning was really hitting me now. Panic flared in my mind. Then the pain stopped. I sucked in a ragged breath, finally able to get air into my lungs. Holy fates, that had been scary. It had only been a few seconds, but it had been so visceral. Turning to stone would be a nightmare. No wonder people eventually caved and went to Ricketts for the cure. I stood shakily and dusted off my hands, then stored my dagger in the ether and pulled the pain potion from my pocket. I swallowed the whole thing in one gulp, blessed relief finally flowing through me. At least temporarily. I went to stand next to Cade.
Good work,
Cade said, clearly having not noticed me. He'd been in front of me.
By the time he wakes up in hell, it'll be too late to warn Ricketts that we're coming.
I guess he'll still send goons after us. Why was he suddenly so interested in us? I worried at my lip. You're sure they've got lots of guards on Anna?
More than 24, and they'll put her somewhere secure.
He glanced at me, understanding in his eyes.
I'm sorry that you're worried.
She's tough. Stronger than me, actually. I shouldn't worry.
You did well with the charm.
Thanks for getting it. It might be a temporary fix, but it was amazing to be in control again. No way in hell I'd use it underground. I didn't trust it that much, but it was nice to have up here. We really needed to succeed, and I'd take whatever weapon I could get. Cade pulled the boat over to a small floating dock.
We'll go on foot from here. Too narrow after this point.
I got out of the boat and climbed the 5 stone steps to the main sidewalk. There were no cars in Venice, not that any would fit on this little walkway. Cade climbed out and tied the boat off, then joined me. We set off down the walkway, going deeper into the city. Cade took one more look at his phone, then tucked it into his pocket.
We're nearly there.
We turned right into an alley, the buildings looming on either side. Eventually, it spilled out into a large square, with a huge church across the way. The place was entirely empty, save for two guards. They looked like stone statues, but when I reached out for the signature of their magic, I caught the slightest whiff of rotting garbage.
"Ew,"
I whispered.
"Evil,"
Cade murmured. Yep, the darkest magic always smelled like a dumpster fire. I reached for Cade's hand, pulling him close to me and leaning in, swaying. "Pretend we're drunk, just some lost tourists."
"Smart."
"Maybe. They were only supposed to repel supernaturals, and this might not trick them. But at least we could try. And I didn't hate being pressed up against Cade, even as I knew it was a bad idea. I'd been alone a long time, and Cade was... well, Cade. We ambled closer to the statues. Cade's heat singed me, but I did my best to ignore it, focusing instead on the statues.
"Holy fates," I whispered. "They're not alive."
"No."
The guards were meant to look like statues, and they did. But something about their magical signature was distinctly dead. Maybe it was the scent of rot? It was subtle, whatever it was. If Cade and I hadn't had such strong magic ourselves, we wouldn't have been able to sense it.
"Go for the kill, then," I said.
Because whatever magic had been used to reanimate these corpse guards, it was some dark stuff.
"Agreed."
We stumbled up the steps, keeping our charade going to the last moment. When our feet landed on the top step, dim light swirled around the guards. The stone veneer covering them chipped away, and their magic surged forth. Their bodies were half decayed, with maggots crawling out of their empty eye sockets. I gagged at the stench, fear racing through me, chilling my skin. I used it as my cue, breaking away from Cade and calling on my sonic boom power. I hurled a defined blast at the nearest zombie thing, letting Cade take care of the other. It slammed the guard into the wall behind, but he just pulled himself off and grinned at me. Damn it. Couldn't pulverize the insides of the undead, it seemed. If I wanted to really blow him apart, I'd also have to take out the historic church. Not an option. I drew my daggers from the ether. Given the choice, I wouldn't get anywhere near a zombie. I threw the blade, which sank into its neck, but the creature kept coming. Fast. Right, too good to be true. Dismemberment was the way to go. I stashed my second dagger in the ether and drew my sword, swinging for the zombie's head. My blade sailed through the decayed sinew and flesh, cutting through bone. The head tumbled to the ground with a thud, but there was no arterial blood spray. Hey, that was convenient. I could get down with killing zombies. But the thing kept coming, almost upon me. The stench was gag-worthy. My heart pounded as I danced back and slashed for the legs, taking out the left one. My blade couldn't cut entirely through the right leg, and the creature reached for me. It gripped my non-sword arm. Pain flared.
Ow!
The thing had an iron grip. It squeezed until stars flashed in my eyes, and I thought my bones might break. Awkwardly, I swung my blade at the arm that gripped me, severing the limb at the elbow. Then I kicked the creature in the chest, sending him crashing backward onto the stone portico. The beast began to crawl toward me, on its last remaining leg and arm.
Oh, hell no!
I leapt toward it, severing the arms and then the leg. Finally, it lay still. I stood, panting. The severed arm still clutched my bicep. It had stopped squeezing, but its grip was so strong that my eyes watered. I tried yanking at it, but it held tight. Then I tried prying the fingers off. No dice. Freaking zombie strength. Panting, I turned toward Cade. His zombie was in about 20 pieces, and definitely not moving anymore. In fact, it was already starting to disappear. Magic, I had to guess. Didn't want the humans finding zombie bits. That was the trouble with living in a mixed community. Hiding the magic was difficult. The Order didn't allow that kind of negative press with humans, though. So it was necessary. Nicely done. I pointed at the disgusting arm hanging off my own.
But could I get a little help here?
Cade winced at the sight of the zombie arm gripping my bicep.
Yeah.
He grimaced.
It stinks, like a 2-month-old tuna salad. Had a baby with a diaper.
Descriptive.
Cade approached and quickly pried the fingers away from my arm. He tossed the limb away. I sagged.
Thanks.
No problem.
He wiped his sword on one of the fallen zombie's ragged shirt, getting rid of the gore. I retrieved the dagger I'd thrown, and wiped it off, too. Technically, I didn't have to retrieve it. The expensive magic that kept it stored in the ether would collect it for me. But next time I used it, it'd be covered in whatever blood or gore it had collected the last time. Adding a cleaning spell had been too expensive. Cade turned to the massive wooden doors of the church and pulled one open, slipping inside. I followed, immediately enveloped in the cool darkness. The scent of candles and wood polish surrounded me. In the distance, lights glowed on the stained glass. The air was so still and silent.
"There's no one here," I whispered.
"There will be more challenges below."
"He's good with his spells."
Ricketts' magic had proven that he was a badass. I wasn't looking forward to whatever waited for us. I crept around to the side of the church, looking for stairs that would lead down. A nondescript door caught my eye, but when I tugged on the door handle, it didn't open.
Locked.
I ran my fingers around the door seam, feeling a prickle of magic.
By a spell.
Cade approached, spreading his hand out over the door. I stepped aside as he closed his eyes and his magic swelled. The scent of a storm at sea washed over me.
He stepped back.
"It's protected by an incantation. We need to know the words to unlock the door."
"Hmm. We're not going to figure that out."
"It's not a problem."
He pressed both palms to the door, and his magic flared around him. This was different, though. Darker. His eyes blazed black, their usual green hue drowned out by darkness. I stumbled backward as his magic brushed my skin, filling my mind with visions of battle and blood and death. Magic burst on the air, the spell that protected the door breaking. I leaned against the wall, letting the horrible images of death and war fade from my mind. Cade turned to me.
"Whoa!"
I panted, still shocked by the way his magic had changed. The darkness of it.
"You broke through that spell."
"God of war."
His face was serious.
"In a sense, that means God of death. Nothing like the true gods of death. But I can use that power to kill some spells. Not complex ones, but that one wasn't complex."
"Wow, that's actually kind of scary."
"I know."
He smiled grimly.
"Useful, though."
He tried the door, but it was locked by a plain old human lock. So he stepped back, as if he were going to charge the door. I grabbed his shoulder.
"Hang on, I've got it."
He stepped back, and I approached the door, digging into my pocket for my wallet. I pulled out 2 narrow picks, then stuck them in the lock. It took a few seconds, but I finally found the pin. I pressed. It clicked. The lock disengaged. I twisted the door open and grinned, then stuck the picks back in my wallet.
"Well done,"
he said.
"How'd you learn that?"
"I'm not a cat burglar, if that's what you're wondering." He raised his hands.
"Hey, I know you're on the right side of the law."
I scrunched up my face into a doubtful expression.
"Sort of."
"Exactly. I just aid and abet criminals in their escape to Hyder's Haven." I shrugged. "And anyway, I don't always agree with the Order of the Magicka. They'd once hunted my friend, Cass, and she was a decent person. So if folks are running from them, I'll help."
"Fair enough. I'm not on their side. So you learned that as a hobby?"
"In my childhood. For when we needed a place to sleep, after our mother had been killed. But I wouldn't be telling him that."
"A story for another time."
"Sure. Not." I started down the staircase, ready to end the conversation. Dim wall sconces lit the way. The air became cooler and damper as we went. At the bottom was a plain room built of rough stone. My boots splashed into water. I crinkled my nose. It smelled wet and muddy. The air was damper, and I can imagine all the water in Venice pushing at these walls, held back by magic. This is the stupidest thing ever. Underground in Venice? Idiot. Magic can only hold back the water for so long.
Agreed.
We stood still for a moment, inspecting the room, swords drawn and ready for anything. There were no doors or windows, just a plain room. Some boxes were piled against the wall, slowly rotting away. I frowned. He's trying to make this look like storage.
There must be a hidden door.
Cade sloshed toward one wall, inspecting it. I trudged over to the other wall, grimacing at the feel of the water around my calves, flowing into my boots. I pressed my hands to the stone wall, feeling for any kind of magic. I didn't find it until I reached the far wall. The slight pulse of magic that indicated a spell of some kind. Over here, Cade! He splashed toward me, then ran his big hand over the wall. As he studied the magic, I rubbed my foot against the base of the wall under the water, searching for some kind of lever that might ignite the magic to open the door. The water was too murky to see through, but my toe slipped into a crevice in the wall. Jackpot! I grinned.
What is it?
I think it's a lever. I pressed my toe into the divot, hitting a little soft spot that depressed slightly under pressure. I could feel magic around it.
Underwater?
He asked. Yeah, right where my left leg is. I stepped back so he could test it. He found the divot with his toe.
There's magic around it.
His leg flexed slightly, which was pretty easy to see, since he had the muscular legs that you'd expect on a god of war, or an Olympic wrestler. And magic flared around the door. It glowed a pale white. Then the whole thing disappeared. Wall sconces burst to life, flames flaring brightly on the walls of the room. Whoa! I stepped back. The room within was full of bones. Chapter 8
It's one of the decorated crypts,
Cade said.
Like in Rome.
My gaze traced over the space, which was about the size of the entry hall back at the castle, with columns supporting the arched ceiling. Every wall and the entire ceiling was covered by thousands of bones, all laid out in decorative patterns. There were swirls made of skulls, geometric shapes made of leg bones, and even some full skeletons dressed like monks. They were pinned to the walls with attachments I couldn't see. Ragged brown robes hung loose around their forms, and their skulls grinned at us. In the ceiling, a headless, jeweled skeleton was the centerpiece. Like the room we stood within, the water was about calf level.
Monks,
Cade said. This must be why Ricketts built his headquarters here. And the magic keeping this place from flooding is older than we expected. It might not be his at all.
Aye, Ricketts chose well. There will be an enchantment in there. Something to keep us from passing.
I glanced at Cade, struck again by his strong competence. We were technically underwater and about to walk into the lion's den, facing magic meant to destroy us. And Cade didn't look a bit worried. Me, on the other hand, I was shaking in my boots. Welp, that's my cue. Let's do this thing. I leapt into the room, sword raised in front of me. Magic exploded in the air. All around, the skeletons burst to life. The robed monks that were attached to the walls jumped down to the floor first, their skeletal hands reaching for us. I lunged for one, slicing out with my blade. I severed the thing's spine, and it tumbled into the water. Another came from behind it. I took the head, but it kept coming. So I went for the spine again. It collapsed. Go for the spine, I said. At my side, Cade fought like a tornado, his sword flying and bones clattering. I hated to see the destruction of something as historic as the crypt, but if this was magic, It'd probably go right back to normal once we were gone. Sweat dampened my skin as I swung my sword, every strike colliding with a skeleton. Their bones fell into the water, which wasn't as muddy in this room. Beneath the surface, I could see the bones of the skeletons crawling across the ground to knit back together. As they reformed, more bones broke off the walls and formed more skeletons. They charged us, dozens at a time. I panted, trying to keep them off of me. "Back to back!" I shouted. Kate and I lined up our backs to each other, fighting off the skeletons that came at us in a circle. One skeleton wasn't too scary. But masses of them? Some wearing the ragged robes of ancient monks. Yeah, creepy. As I sliced through the spine of one skeleton, another got a hold on my arm. Like the zombie, it squeezed with a grip that could crush titanium. My eyes watered as I heaved my sword at the attacking skeleton, slicing down through its arm and straight through its spine. The thing splashed into the water, but the arm hung on. This was a trend that I didn't love, but at least it didn't stink like the zombie arm. I wasn't going to look a gift skeleton in the mouth. Bones clattered all around us as our swords whirled, but the skeletons kept coming. When one grabbed my calf, Cade's huge sword swung down and demolished the creature. A few moments later, I kept one from grabbing his arm. We weren't a bad team. Not that it was helping us win. "There are too many," I panted. "They keep reforming."
"The magic's too strong."
Bones splashed into the water all around, but the masses of skeletons crawled for us, trying to make it past our whirling blades. They'd overwhelm us soon, drowning us in the shallow water. My heart thundered as sweat dripped down my spine. There had to be a way to stop these beasts. Something we'd missed. A trigger that would keep the magic in the room from igniting. Maybe I should have thought of that before leaping in, but I was Pavlov's dog. Instead of drooling at dinner, I leapt into the fight when I felt scared. Usually, very handy. Now, not so much. I scanned the room as I swung my sword, breaking skeletons on autopilot. A glint of something shiny caught my eye on the ground near the door. There was a bejeweled skull under the water, the sapphires glinting in the low light of the wall sconces. It was pressed up against the wall, where an unwitting intruder wouldn't be able to see it before stepping in. But if you knew it was there, you could grab it. I glanced up to the space where the only jeweled skeleton had been. He was starting to come alive, dragging himself off the wall. But he had no head. Unlike the other skeletons, he held a massive sword in his hand. The thing gleamed wickedly, its blade as sharp as mine. Oh, dang! A skeleton with a blade like that was gonna be trouble. I glanced at the gleaming skull on the floor, then up at him. An idea flared. "Cade? There's a skull covered in jewels on the ground by the door. We have to get it and put it on the skeleton that's trying to climb off the ceiling." Cade hesitated half a second, no doubt checking out the skeleton above and the head by the door.
"You go. I'll guard."
"Okay." Cade flew into action, stowing his sword in the ether and grabbing a skeleton by the arms.
"Duck."
I did as he commanded. He swung the skeleton in a circle over my head, using it to batter the other skeletons. He spun so fast that it was like a helicopter above me. It collided with our attackers, sending them flying back. They crashed into the walls and splashed into the water. It was like the whole place had exploded.
"Whoa."
I shook off my shock and stowed my sword in the ether, then raced for the bejeweled skull, Cade clearing the way. Water splashed high as I sprinted and lunged for the skull. I grabbed it up, the gems and gold cutting into my hand, and spun back to the middle of the room. All of the skeletons were in the water. He'd gotten them all. The skeletons were already slowly getting to their feet, but he'd bought us some time.
"Come on."
Cade stood beneath the jeweled skeleton that had almost pulled itself away from the bindings that kept it attached to the ceiling. I ran for him, the skull clutched tight in my hand. This was like that scene from Dirty Dancing, but with more skeletons. Cade made a platform out of his hands, and I leapt onto it. He heaved me into the air. I stretched, reaching for the skeleton. I slammed the skull onto its neck, then fell. Cade caught me before I splashed into the water. The bejeweled skeleton stiffened, then flattened itself against the ceiling, and froze. All around us, the bones flew back to the walls, pinning themselves back in place. I panted, holding on to Cade's neck. I glanced at him. He grinned at me. I was filled with this insane desire to kiss him. Just press my lips against his fuller ones, and see if it was as good as I expected. It probably would be. Bad idea. I pushed away from him. I'm good. He set me down, his breathing growing steadier.
Quick thinking.
Thanks. Good job on the skelicopter you had going there. He chuckled.
Skelicopter.
Sometimes I'm clever. But how'd you think of that?
Once I realized that they were pretty strong, I figured it was worth a try. Ready to keep going?
Yeah. I sloshed toward the exit. This makes me miss the desert.
Don't like water?
Nope. It was one reason this place freaked me out so much. Not water like this. Too used to sand. Though I actually really liked the highlands. That place was pretty sweet. I stopped at the entrance to the next room, peering inside. There were fewer sconces in here, just enough to illuminate the place with a gloomy glow. It was a high vaulted space, nearly as long as a football field. Stone statues sat in nooks against the walls, presiding over sarcophagi. I inspected the whole space, looking for some kind of lever or way to stop whatever enchanted the massive room.
I don't see anything from here,
Cade said. Me neither. If there was a way to stop this room from lighting up, it was impossible to see from our vantage point. Maybe it's against the wall near this door, like the last room?
Maybe.
But his voice was doubtful. So was I. Let's go in and check near the door. You look left, I'll look right. If there's nothing there, we keep going. Take it as it comes. I hated just waiting here, trying to figure out what would attempt to kill us. Let's get this over with. Cade looked at me, his green eyes seeming to see right through me. He nodded.
On three.
I counted down, leaping into the room on one. I looked left. Nothing.
Nothing,
Cade said. We ran, sprinting for the other exit. I gave it my all, hoping to outrun whatever monsters would come for us. But nothing came alive. It was eerily silent, except for our splashing footsteps. The dim crypt was creepy, but the threat was invisible. I slogged through the water, panting and sweating. Gosh, this was getting harder. Oh, shit. I glanced down. My heart dropped as my skin chilled with fear. The water is rising. It was up to my knees now. That's why the threat was silent. I pumped my arms and legs, lungs burning as I ran. But it was almost to my middle thighs, and we weren't even halfway across. Cade was running. The guy had almost a foot on me, but he was holding back. For me. But the exit was too far. We'd never make it. I could try to swim, but at this rate, I'd drown. But Cade didn't have to. Go! I screamed. You're faster than me. I was barely able to run now. Water was to my thighs. Soon I'd be waiting. Go! Instead, Cade grabbed me around the waist and threw me onto his shoulder. Then he ran, sprinting across the water like a running back on speed. I hung on, bouncing like mad as water splashed all around. But the water kept rising, faster and faster. I had to shift to keep my head out of the water, inching around so that I could see how far we were from the exit. Too far? We weren't going to make it. Not before we had to swim, and unless he was part shark, we wouldn't do that fast enough. The water was rising, cold and wet. I could feel it all around. It would drown us. It was so close. In my chest. In my mind.
Use it, a voice whispered. Use it.
I blinked. What the heck?
The water is yours.
I shook my head. Was I having a panic attack? I was a scaredy cat about a lot of things, but I only freaked out before the main event. Not during. During the disaster, I was usually cold as ice.
The water is yours.
Holy fates, that was a voice inside my head. And I could feel the water. In my heart, in my head. It was part of me, like my magic. It filled me, wanting to burst out. Magic, water, magic, water. I couldn't tell the difference. And I had no idea what was happening. But something was changing within me. There was more magic in me. Or it was trying to burst out. Or something. I went on instinct, throwing my hands out and forcing the magic from me.
Go!
I screamed, directing all my magic and fear and rage at the water. It parted around us, like I was freaking Moses, and this was the Red Sea. Cade stumbled briefly, then adjusted to dry land and sprinted full out like a freight train. I lost my grip on him and flopped back over his shoulder, my head near his lower back. I clung to his waist. The water held back on either side, a murky brown that threatened to crash in and drown us. But my magic held it at bay, something I didn't understand, but sure as hell knew was happening because of me. I bounced along on his shoulder, feeling like my ribs would break, and forced my magic to keep the water from crashing down on us. It felt like the water was part of me, like I could command it, the way I'd command my sonic boom. But this was easily the least dignified way to learn that I had a new power. Cade sprinted through the exit, leaping at the last moment and landing on higher ground. Solid, dry ground. I let go of my magic. In the room behind us, the water crashed down, massive waves colliding together. Fortunately, the water stayed in the other room, magic keeping it from flooding the whole place. Cade set me down on a wood platform. I righted myself, panting and probably red-faced. Around us, dark water sloshed. We were in a long room. Though it was full of water, there was a large platform built over it, leaving a channel of water on either side.
What the hell was that?
Cade asked. I glanced at him, unsure of how to respond. A noise in the distance caught my attention. I looked around Cade, catching sight of four large figures coming toward us on the large wooden platform. I looked back at Cade. We've got company. He turned, drawing his sword from the ether.
Guards,
he muttered. I drew my daggers, preferring the long-range game. I was getting tired. In the dim light of the wall sconces, I made out four demons. All in unrecognizable species, but their horns made it pretty clear where they'd come from. And where they'd be going back to. While I hesitated to kill other supernaturals, demons were another matter altogether. Because you couldn't kill a demon. All you could do was kill its earthly form. It'd disappear and wake up in its original hell almost immediately, where they were supposed to be anyway, since demons weren't allowed to roam the earth. Mainly because they did shit like this, working for evil masterminds. They'd eventually blow our cover with the humans. So killing a demon was pretty much guilt-free all around. Like low-fat yogurt. Except more murdery. And tastier, because that yogurt sucked. All the smiling women on the commercials could not fool me. The four demons lumbered toward us, their magic powering up and filling the room with its stench. They were all huge, each a different species. One with red skin, one with blue, and two dark gray ones. I hurled one of my blades at the nearest demon. It sank into his neck, and he collapsed back, crashing to the wooden platform. His companions roared and charged us. Cade answered with his own roar, charging with his blade raised. Whoa, big fella. He took out the first demon he met by slicing it right through the middle. I gagged, then raised my dagger. Before I could get off my shot, a demon threw a fireball toward me. His flame-red skin should have given me a clue. I dived, skidding against the wooden boardwalk as the fireball sailed overhead. It singed my cheek as it passed. Pain flared briefly. I scrambled to my feet as he charged up his next fireball, then threw my blade. It sailed through the air, end over end, and landed in his neck. He gurgled and collapsed backward, thudding onto the wide wooden platform. Necks were my favorite. Gruesome, but they got the job done. No one kept fighting, with a dagger sticking out of their neck. The last demon, one with pale blue skin, hurled a huge icicle at Cade, but he blocked it with his blade. The thing exploded in the air, raining ice down on Cade as he swiped out with his massive blade. The demon's blue head flew into the air, blood spraying. It splashed against Cade's face and torso.
Gag!
Yep, zombies were better. No blood. I trotted toward Cade. You really like to go for the most gruesome kills, huh?
I play to my strengths, and gory casualties seem to be my strength.
I grimaced, though he was right. A guy of his size and muscle power didn't need to get fancy with the footwork. He stepped closer to me, raising a hand to my burned cheek. He didn't touch, but I swore I could feel a caress all the same.
Are you all right?
I swallowed hard and stepped back. Fine. He gave me a long look, then knelt at the edge of the boardwalk and reached into the murky water, splashing a bit on his face. Careful! Keep your mouth closed! I wasn't sure what was grosser. Demon blood or that water? You could definitely catch something. I wouldn't be surprised if your leg spontaneously falls off. He rose, his lips parted in a chuckle.
Are you a clean freak?
Not wanting to wash my face in water that has dead bodies in it hardly gets me clean freak status. He gestured to all the demon bodies with his sword.
I'll have you know that I kept all of these bodies out of the water. I'm considerate like that.
I barked a brief laugh, then pointed back to the watery room we'd just come from. What do you think was in those sarcophagi? No way those things are watertight. Cade grimaced slightly.
Fair point.
Exactly. I strode over to the demon bodies that had already started to disappear back to the underworld, grabbed my two daggers, and wiped them on the demon's shirt.
You're handy with more than just a sword,
Cade said. If your magic caused catastrophic damage, you'd become handy with weapons, too. I grinned at the memory of bar fights back in Death Valley Junction. No one likes it if you blow up the best bar in town over a poker disagreement.
You like poker?
I spent my formative years in the closest thing to the Old West. Of course I like poker.
Maybe a game sometime.
Strip poker? Nope, nope, nope. Of course my mind went right there. But my smarter self would not tolerate such shenanigans. If I wanted to keep my distance, strip poker was literally the worst way to go about it. Sure, maybe. Never. I turned and inspected the rest of the room.
We will need to talk about your new magic, though, he said.
Not now. I inspected the rest of the room, but there wasn't much to see. Just the wide wooden boardwalk that led to heavy wooden doors on the far end of the room. I pointed to them. $20, his lair is back there.
Agreed.
Cade strode toward it. I kept pace with his long strides, my gaze zeroed in on the door. I clutched my daggers, ready for a fight. No way I'd throw a sonic boom down here and risk the church collapsing on us. We stopped at the wooden doors, and I pressed my ear to one. Nothing, I whispered. Cade nodded, then slowly pushed one open and stuck his head inside. Half a second later, he walked through. I followed. Whoa! I whistled low. The room was empty, like a foyer. We were still in the crypts, with the same arched ceilings and support columns, but the place had been fancied up considerably. Crystal wall sconces shed more light on the place, making it look artistically historic rather than old and creepy. The room was still slightly flooded. Maybe 2 feet of water? But the boardwalk was a beautiful